from Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. My guest today, out in support of an album, an EP, in fact, called Just Enough Sun, is Heather Maloney. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to JPR. Welcome to our brand new building.
It's lovely.
You are not here by yourself.
I'm not here by myself.
You've brought friends, cohorts.
I brought friend, cohort. His name is Ryan Hummel.
Hello, Ryan.
Hello.
He's a huge part of the new EP, and we've been torn behind it, gosh, the past few months. Mm-hmm. But this is our first time bringing it to the Northwest.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
Looking forward to hearing a few of those songs. Yeah. Now, you play and sing and also produce this EP, right?
Yeah, that's right. We've been building this live show, this duo show together for a while and had been for about a year before going into the studio to make this EP. And we decided that we wanted to kind of center the EP around the show that we've been working on. So we essentially walked in and did what we're about to do for you right now, which is just play the songs the way we would do them in a show and kind of built orchestration stuff and other band stuff around that.
Cool.
Yeah. The live duo show really informed how we built this record.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Heather, let's talk a little bit about your background. I read that you had kind of an interesting, somewhat typical musical background, that is digging through parents' record collections of some classics like Joni Mitchell and Crosby, Stills and Nash and Fleetwood Mac. You've also got sort of the 90s era Lollapalooza female rock thing.
Right? You nailed that. Nice.
I was there, right? I'm old enough to have been there. But then from there off to study classical voice.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you do that?
So I just majored in classical operatic vocals. I didn't go to like a music school or anything. And in fact, most of my training was private. I had an incredible vocal coach. He was Ukrainian and really, really strict, but also just really, I've spent 3 years with him and really worked on like operatic vocals.
Okay, so not choral singing, but actual operatic aria.
Yes, classical operatic, yeah.
Then also some jazz improv.
Yes.
Which seems to be almost the polar opposite on the scale.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And traditional classical Indian singing.
Yes, that was, I can't really get credit for that because that was only like 3 months, but I did study. I did find an incredible classical Indian vocalist that I studied with for 3 months.
Wow.
Enough to learn like a few ragas and Indian solfege.
Okay.
And then,
so you're originally from New Jersey. Is that where the musical training was going on as well?
Yeah. And also I would go in and out of New York City, which is where a lot of my early experience in jazz improvisation was happening. So I was studying with an amazing singer who lives in New York at least some of the time. I'm not sure if she still does, but her name is Jay Clayton. And I found her because she was a student of Bobby McFerrin's, who had just at that time been blowing my mind vocally and like opening my mind up to singing in really different ways.
Had he been into the Circle Songs by that point?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. 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 All of that was just blowing my mind and kind of distracting me from my focus on operatic singing. There was a little bit of musical ADD going on there in my years of training.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I guess so.
It kind of creates a melting pot. So we've got a little bit of the classic folk and folk rock. We've got the 90s rock. We've got the operatic, the jazz, and the traditional Indian singing, though just a wee bit. And the net result is singer-songwriter Heather Maloney.
I guess so.
Right? Heather Maloney is my guest live today here on Jefferson Public Radio. The new EP out in 2018 is called Just Enough Sun. HeatherMaloney.com is the web address. What do you guys want to do first?
Well, maybe we should do the first song on the new EP.
Let's do it.
This is a song called Let Me Stay. My brother's old room used to be mine, and all of our posters have changed over time. Now all of our idols are on the tip of our tongues, and we can't recall what's his name over eggnog and rum. In my brother's old room used to be mine, now my mother's old paintings can finally shine and fill all the spaces where celebrities post. I woke up this morning in a room that I know. Ooh, my brother's old room used to be mine. He painted it blue when I left it behind. Now my mother's old Alvarez leans up against white in the brand new guest room where I slept last night. And let me stay a little longer. Let me rest. Let me belong here. I am a guest in every room I've ever known. My brother's old ceiling, it gets just enough sun. The shapes of our made-up constellations glow in a pattern that I knew by heart. I woke up in the morning and picked up her guitar. And now my mother's old Alvarez from 76, I wrote down this song as a bargaining chip to capture a moment from merciless time, to stay in a room that I know for a while. And let me stay a little longer. Let me rest. Let me belong here. I am a guest in every room I've ever known. My brother's old room this morning is mine, and someday a stranger will wake to this light. And this illumination is a passage of right, and the lineage of visitors grows a little in size. Four walls and a window opposite the door. I pack up my bag and I leave it once more. Another holiday ends in a teary embrace, because even our bodies are places we stay. Because even our bodies are places we stay. And let me stay a little longer. Let me rest. Let me belong here. I am a guest in every room. I'm just a guest. I'll be going soon. I am a guest in every room I've ever known.
That is called Let Me Stay. It's Heather Maloney with help today from Ryan Hommel. That tune leads off the new EP out in 2018 called Just Enough Sun. Information is online at heathermaloney.com. That was spectacular.
Oh, thank you, Eric.
Thank you for doing that. It's absolutely beautiful. Your mix is fantastic. Tell me how long the two of you have been playing together. And how did that start? Where'd you guys meet and hook up?
Sort of a windy little road that we've had collaboratively, but... when I put my first record out with Signature Sounds in 2013, I did a support tour for that record. I did a tour in support of that record, and I had asked Ryan to play in my band. I did a band tour, kind of a full band tour. I think there were at least four of us.
We've been introduced to one another, I think, through Anand.
Oh yeah, through another musician. So we both live in Western Massachusetts, yeah. And which has this incredibly rich music scene, bizarrely, that no one, you know, not no one, but few people seem to really know that those woods are kind of teeming with artists and musicians. But we're out there, and we out here.
We out here.
We out there. Sometimes. Most of the time, some of the time when we're not on the road. So we all just kind of eventually meet each other, and it's a really, really sweet supportive musical community, yeah, out there. And so a friend of mine who I had played with in other configurations, his name's Anand Nayak, he had introduced me to Ryan when I was looking for a guitarist, because he hadn't been available for another gig, and you know, just kind of the way it works. He said, oh, my friend Ryan's great. And so that was the initial call. And then, so we did a tour in 2013 in support of that record with a band. And then maybe a year and a half ago, but probably approaching 2 years ago, I had a show up in Vermont in like a beautiful old church. It was kind of like one of those magical nights, like super resonant old room. And Ryan was playing with another artist who had been opening the show, this incredible songwriter, also from Western Mass, called Mikey Sweet. And so Ryan was there with Mikey, and I was like, oh, hey, buddy, you know, it's been a few years. It's great to see you. You know, and I kind of roped him into sitting in on one of my songs. And
yeah, really twisted my arm.
just as a duo, though, being, you know, which we'd never done.
It's true.
And so he sat in on a song, and it just sort of like immediate, I was like, oh, we could totally do this.
Yeah,
like,
we could do, yeah,
outside
yeah.
of one song and one yeah. show.
It's amazing. Like, that moment was so cool because it was definitely, you know, 3-4 years had passed since we'd done any singing or playing together. And it, when something clicks with that immediacy, even if there's an established history, if there's been that much space and it clicks like that, it's worth pursuing. And I think we both felt that way about singing together immediately. Yeah. It was like, oh, this is something we want to do every day.
Yeah.
As you just demonstrated.
Aww.
Yeah, it works. You know, we've seen this so many times over the years with musicians that come out of the singer-songwriter world, which is that the first record tends to be strummy acoustic guitar, singer-songwriter, and then as resources accumulate, right, there's more of a band, mm-hmm. there's a bigger sound, there's sort of this yeah. march toward like almost like an independent rock sound. Mm-hmm. And that has definitely happened across your records, but now we're kind of back full circle to just this intimate, straight-ahead sound, and it's absolutely beautiful.
Boy, you're observant.
Yeah. And resources haven't even really accumulated.
They pretty much remain the same. I'm really grateful that there are, you know, music nerds out there like you and us. You know, we're all music nerds.
Yeah. Guilty.
And that really notice the arc of records over time and like notice patterns in them, because that's really a big part of, I think, our story currently is that we really intentionally stripped things down and got back to some basics, both musically and intentionally, like, what, you know, we really kind of distilling why we're out here doing this. We're incredibly lyric based music, and there's sort of more of a mission statement now than there was before.
I find it interesting that despite the beauty that comes out when you sing, there were 3 years that nobody heard you, right?
Yeah.
Explain what you were doing. After this musical training of all these different things, you went a decidedly different direction for a while.
Yeah. Yes. I did. I had been pretty depressed around the time I was in college. I definitely clinically depressed for a time that, and I was throwing myself into studying and music and studying with all of these amazing teachers, but I was sort of going deeper and deeper, you know, into a dark space in the middle of all that busyness that I just kind of wasn't taking care of. And between semesters, that's when I would really notice like kind of how dark things were for me. You know, when I wasn't distracting myself, in between semesters, I would go, oh, wow, like there's something going on here that I really need to take care of. And I discovered meditation. I signed myself up for a 7-day silent meditation retreat. I did the research. I found one that was in Massachusetts. I was living in New Jersey, but driving distance. And I went on a meditation retreat between semesters, and it just knocked my mind socks off. It knocked my socks off. It shifted it, like the tectonic plates of my life and the way everything had been organized and set up just completely shifted. Everything came tumbling down, and I had to drop everything I was doing and go back the second that I could. It was such a, you know, it was such a profound experience for me. My first retreat. I'd never been silent for, you know, a day, let alone 7. And then it really gave me some tools for getting out of destructive thought patterns that had really been kind of steering my life before I had the tool of meditation to to work with it myself.
And you stuck with this for 3 years.
Yeah, which I didn't mean to. So I went to this initial retreat between semesters. It blew me away. And I went back for one more semester and I just started in the front of my mind. It was constantly on my mind. Like, I have to go back. And so I did. And I dropped kind of everything. And I moved to a place called Insight Meditation Society. It's in central Massachusetts. And I was able to live and work and study and practice there because everybody who's like a part of the staff that runs the meditation retreat center has access to the teachers, and there's an amazing staff program. And so I was just able to, I cooked in a beautiful kitchen at one of the centers. It's a few different centers in the same woods. I got to serve monks and nuns and study with some of the most incredible teachers from around the world. And this form of meditation, which is called Vipassana. Ironically, about a year into my stay is when I actually started kind of hearing my own melodies and music and lyrics and stringing them together. So kind of my first songs came out of that place unexpectedly.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, it would seem like a challenge and like a focus for someone to just withhold speaking. But for a person that is musical, that has sounds just being created out of nothing inside the head, to not be able to hum them or sing them or seems like it would be an even bigger challenge.
I love that you're asking this because I had one retreat in particular. I think it's where one of the first songs that I'd ever written happened on this one retreat that I'll just never forget this moment. I'm sitting for, 8 hours a day and, sometimes I'd work with mantras, so I would have something going on. And when you get that quiet, like things in your own head sound like you're speaking, they just get louder, like subtlety becomes brighter. And, so I remember this retreat, hearing kind of a mantra I'd been working with become a melody just in my head over the time of repeating it. And then I'm sitting there and going like, oh, this actually sounds kind of good. And then I'm like noting that thought, okay, judging thoughts. And then you put it away and then you go back to the mantra. And then I'm doing it again. I'm like, oh, maybe I should write this down. I'm like, nope. Back to the mantra. Oh, but if I don't write this down, maybe I'll forget it. And then I'll have FOMO, I'll have fear of missing out. Like this thing will have come and gone. And then I'm like, nope, shut up. Go back to the mantra. And then eventually it just stuck with me for maybe 3 or 4 more hours of meditating. And I was like, I have to break my vow, go into my cottage and write this down. And I did. I did the thing you weren't supposed to do, and I just completely surrendered to it. So,
well, no such restrictions in our performance space today. Heather Maloney is my guest live here on Jefferson Public Radio, along with help from Ryan Hommel. The new EP is called Just Enough Sun. What do you guys want to do next?
Sounds like a good
bullseye
yes. situation. Yeah.
Yes. This song is called Bullseye, and it actually has a Zen parable inside of the song. Speaking of it.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. I was an arrow and you were a bow. Baby, we took a chance to see how far we'd go. I had my eye on the farthest horizon. The pull and the tension only made us fly on the back of the wind. We fell in love on a whim, but tell me, where did we end up? And I'm scrolling through the moments, trying to find it, where we had it. There's a target underneath this mess we made. Oh, it's a long shot, but I'm taking aim at your heart. I found found a photo of you staring into the blue, the Carolina sky, the Appalachian view. You looked into the void, you said, oh, what is the point? There are no guarantees, it's just the toss of a coin. I said the best things maybe are pointless, baby, like songs are dancing. And I'm scrolling through the moments, trying to find it, but we had it. There's a target underneath this mess we made. Oh, it's a long shot, but I'm taking aim. Oh, it's a long shot, but I'm taking aim at your heart. Oh, I heard a story, a master of archery giving a lesson at the edge of the shore. He pulled back his bow to its fullest arc, and with total focus in his mind and heart, he let the arrow free into the middle of the sea. And then he said, bullseye.
That is Bullseye, played live for us today here on Jefferson Public Radio. Heather Maloney is my guest, along with help today from Ryan Hommel. It's a song from the new EP called Just Enough Sun that went out this year. Information is online at heathermaloney.com. I have seen some online videos of you playing a new tenor guitar, like a four-stringer, right?
Yes.
Like Sarah Jarosz had one of those when she was here.
Yes.
What does that do for you that you're not accomplishing on a traditional six-string?
I have two amazing tenor guitars. I have one 1965 Martin tenor guitar that I found at a really cool vintage guitar place in Brooklyn, Retrofret. Mm. And I found that guitar maybe six years ago or so. I absolutely love it, but it suffered a terrible break on some concrete. And the worst sound I think I've ever heard in my life was the sound of that guitar hitting the ground. But this incredible luthier who's out by us, his name's Trevor Healy, amazing guy. Both Ryan and I are friends with him and use him. He built me an electric tenor guitar after my trauma of bringing out an acoustic one. He made a beautiful tenor guitar that actually, as we develop and think about the next record, we are really working on some soundscapes that are delicately introduced to the core of what we've been working on, one of which would be my electric tenor. Mm. So it has a future and it has a past, but presently I haven't been touring with a tenor guitar, although I love it.
I'm glad you brought up the idea of another album. Are you still of the mindset of doing full albums? I know a lot of artists are moving the direction of EPs or one-off singles at a time because of the nature of the way listening has changed.
Absolutely.
And consumption too.
I just did an EP and then I put out a single, and and full-length records will always be a part of that mix for me. Like I'm sort of embracing all of it, but I'm not letting go of that because I do love making records. I love listening to them, and I don't think I'll ever stop including that in the sort of different patterns of releasing music that are happening now.
You mentioned the new single. There is a lot to it. It is more than a song. It is a social cause. It is a political cause. There's a campaign along with the song. Tell us what it's called and where this came from and what are you doing with it?
Yes. So the song is called How Many More? And as always, as with everything we do, it's offered in absolute peace and, you know, wanting to find answers. And, you know, there's nothing charged or angry about the type of songs that I write that could be considered political. It's really, you know, all about starting conversation. So that's my preface.
Your preface,
that's
my, right?
Yes. The song itself, I wrote in February last year. I was in, I rent a cottage, in Orlando, non-Disney Orlando, every winter. And I do writing, while I'm there a little bit. Like, I always give myself a couple of weeks to write. And so I was there with my guitar in February, and, I was there when that shooting happened at Parkland, and, you know, heard the news while I was out. I saw it on a TV somewhere in public, and I just remember thinking, like, oh, this must be recycled. You know, this is something that's already happened, you know. And then, you know, the horror of realizing, like, oh, this is happening right now, and it's happening a couple hours south of me. And then, you know, I drove down the road a couple of minutes and I passed by Pulse nightclub. And then I kind of just start to sweat, you know, just like, you know, I just started feeling surrounded. I'm trying to find the words. Like, I'm just starting to kind of feel surrounded by this horrible phenomenon. Mm. And then a little bit further down the road, there's a club called La Plaza Live that I done a tour with. I was on a support tour with Colin Hay from Men at Work, and we'd played there.
He's been here a couple of times.
Yeah, amazing, amazing songwriter who I love. And we played at this venue there in Orlando, where maybe 3 months after I'd been there with Colin, an amazing young woman was shot and killed at the merch table that I had stood at signing CDs like 3 months later. This was another few minutes down the road from Pulse. So like all of these sort of like moments of these horrible events, like, just kind of came flooding in around, you know, digesting what was happening then in that moment in Parkland. So there's just this feeling of being immersed. That's the word. Just immersed, fully immersed in, you know, a culture of gun violence that I couldn't escape if I'd wanted to, you know. So I went back to my cottage and I picked up this guitar and I tried to kind of write my way out of, you know, the kind of overwhelming feeling that I was feeling in that moment. And I couldn't make music out of, you know, sometimes emotions are just too unruly and big to stuff into a song. And so I maybe waited 24 hours and I turned on the news the next day and I saw this young woman speak, and, you know, she just had such clarity and such a, like, a fierceness. And her name is Emma Gonzalez, and of course I think a lot of us saw that speech. And it just, within 5 minutes of listening to her speak, this song came out. Wow. And so my record label, my amazing record label, Signature Sounds, released this song, and, you know, doesn't take a penny. That all of it goes toward sensible, common sense gun control groups. And everybody who I made the song with, Ryan produced it, donated his production, donated his instrumentation. The amazing studio that I worked at in Western Massachusetts called Ghost Hit donated their time, and the engineer donated his mixing skills, and the mastering engineer donated, Kevin Butler in Texas donated his mastering skills, and the artist who made the cover art, Susa Talon of Portland, Maine, donated her art. Everybody donated everything, literally, to make this song make as much money as possible for the cause.
And there's a video for it on your site.
And there's a video for it on the site. So yeah, it's been a really it's been a really wild ride with this one, because I've, you know, I've gotten a fair amount of you know, online harassment, and it's scary, you know, but it just doesn't feel like something that as an American folk songwriter, I can just sit back and not have something to say about.
I'd love to hear it.
A is for allegiance. It's what you pledge every morning to the flag. And B is for bravery. In the home of the brave, it's what you gotta be. Because C is for children. Hiding in the cabinets, the trenches of the classroom. And D is for drill. And this is not a drill, this is not a drill. And how many more, how many babies in the ground, how many friends? How many more, how many more, till we say never. For everyone lost, every single one. And F is for freedom. And are we all free now? Are we free? And how many more, how many babies in the ground, how many friends? Showing how to shield a weapon made for battlefields. There's a trigger and anyone can pull it. There's a look inside a child's eyes when they don't trust the world outside, and their innocence flies from them like a bullet. There is a country where some people say that is just the price you pay for freedom. But I am calling bullshit. How many more?
That is fantastic.
Thank you.
Heather Maloney live today here on Jefferson Public Radio with help from Ryan Hommel on guitars and vocals. The new EP is called Just Enough Sun. That song not on it, but on her website, as well as a really poignant video that kind of underscores the message in the song. I'm so grateful you're here.
We're so grateful we got to stop along our way.
We'll have audio from our session today, as well as a few photos up on our website later this afternoon at ijpr.org. Open Air continues right after this.